How's it going, everybody? Bryan Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And yes, I hear there's some big football games going on today, but you, the listener, are here with us. And thankfully, we've got Mike Sempervivi. He is going to keep you up to date with what is going on in these games as we continue on throughout the next 2 hours. Pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. The WWE Network is set to launch in just a couple of weeks. We're going to be talking about that, taking your phone calls on the network as well. As always, we've got a lot of different questions about the network. And we'll talk about the UFC Fight Pass as well. 3-month free trial for the UFC Fight Pass that a lot of you are taking advantage of right now. There have been some complaints about Fight Pass, but there are some changes coming. We're going to talk about that, how it affects UFC and WWE. And there are a lot of tie-ins to talk about this week. Dana White talked about Brock Lesnar. Does Brock Lesnar want to come back to fighting? We're going to talk about that here today on the show. And of course, the Royal Rumble is coming up in just 1 week. Next week will be our live Royal Rumble preview show. So today we're going to talk about the event, talk about all the matches. Is Daniel Bryan going to work the show? He is a babyface again after an angle on Raw this past Monday night, which saw him break up with the Wyatt clan and in the process, unfortunately, suffer a concussion. So he may not even be at the Royal Rumble. We're going to talk about that tonight, plus we'll talk about Impact, what is going on with Jeff Jarrett and his apparent attempts to start a brand new wrestling company. We're going to talk about that, plus the passing of Mae Young. We'll tell you a little bit about her career. She had quite a career, quite a legendary woman, so a lot of stuff coming up today, and we're going to take your phone calls. So get ready when we come back from the break. We're kicking it all off. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Bryan Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Also available on the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, number of other outlets as well. The most listened to wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And as promised throughout the show today, for those of you that are devoting your time to Wrestling Observer Live, we shall reward you with regular ongoing scores from the games today. And Mike, what's going on here?
Well, Bryan, I know you're going to be devastated by this, being a massive American football fan, but we are only two games away from being done with the entire season, as the AFC Championship game took place earlier on today with New England losing to Denver 26-16, which leaves the NFC Championship game today between Seattle and San Francisco, which will be going on while we do this show. The winners of that obviously go on to the Super Bowl, and I'm hoping it's Seattle and Denver, but I guess we'll see what happens. What do you think, Bryan?
I think that producer Paul is about to kick you off the show. This could be a very contentious show today. We've got the studios, the Sports Byline studios in San Francisco, and our studios are here in Seattle, Washington. So it's going to be quite the program here today. Is the Figure Four Online Studios or the Sports Byline Studios going to come out on top this afternoon? It's very unlikely this game is going to wrap up before the show ends, correct?
Oh, yeah. No chance of that.
No chance of that. All right, we'll be
unless we get a lot more time. If somehow the guys at No Holds Barred decide, you know, we're not doing a show tonight, and they push us another 2 hours, we could be here the whole game.
Yeah, we just keep going. We just keep going with this live coverage here. All right, so when is kickoff?
Kickoff is about it'll probably be at about 15 minutes. I think it was supposed to start at 6:30.
6:30. All right. Well, everybody, if you want to listen to the show today, keep it airing, and we will update you with the scores as we go along this afternoon. We got a lot of stuff to get into here today, obviously, and I want to kick it off by just talking a little bit about Mae Young, who did in fact pass away several days ago. She'd been in ill health for quite a while, and it was a very strange situation in the sense that there were a lot of older people going in and out of the house, and so we got a lot of reports And a lot of the reports were conflicting. There were reports that she was on life support, which she was not, actually. There were reports that she had passed away at one point, which she had not done. And that made it all the way to the Charleston Post-Courier, which actually did an article about it when we were in Las Vegas for the WWE Network announcement. That ended up having to be retracted. But unfortunately, she did pass away at the ripe old age of 90. And I was just online a little earlier today. And for whatever reason, I just decided I'm going to find this this footage of that day that that Bubba Ray put her through that table when she was 75 years old. 75 years old. 40 years older than Mike Sempervivi is right now, approximately. She went through a, not only put through a table, but Bubba Ray hoisted her up for a powerbomb on the stage and powerbombed her off the stage and through a table. This woman, absolutely nuts. In fact, there was another video that I saw that is less talked about, but she took a Bubba bomb off the top rope into the ring, not through a table or anything, just powerbomb off the top to the ring. And it was a seated powerbomb, so, you know, Bully could protect her a little bit. But, you know, when I was wrestling years back, I once took that move off the middle rope, a powerbomb, and separated my own shoulder. And I was in my 20s at the time, and here she was in her 70s, and she took this move and not only survived, but continued to thrive all the way up to age 90, an amazing woman. If you've not checked it out, head up to Jim Ross, his blog, and he's got a nice long article about Mae Young. There's a nice article in the Observer this week as well, and lived a hell of a life, Mike.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah, not only did she take the move, she made sure that Bubba knew to lay it in there and make it look good too.
Everybody had to lay it in.
That's, you know, Jim Ross, Taz, everybody's kind of said it. You know, this tough old broad, and that's not a derogatory term when it comes to Mae Young. That's what she was, and that's what she prided herself on being, was just being a tough old broad. And she was like that early in her life, coming out of the depression in Oklahoma, where she, you know, she played sports. She actually played football against the boys for as long as she could, but a legitimate woman was the one that would go out there and was kind of the police woman for the women's group that Moolah had, and that was out there. One that if there was any trouble whatsoever, you hear those stories about Harley Race being this guy. She was, in a way, the female version of a absolutely amazingly spectacular life, in that her wrestling exploits throughout the years, you know, could have been easily lost to time. And here's one thing that the WWF and WWE did where, even though it was so bizarre with who her and Moolah going out there with these, you know, comedic type of roles and doing all of this wacky stuff, it's because of that we got to know really like. And the movie Lipstick and Dynamite, you know, talked about it a lot too, where, you know, she could have just been known as this crazy old lady on WWE. Really opened up appreciation for what kind of woman this was, what kind of wrestler, professional wrestler this was, as well as what kind of, you know, entertainment and what she thought. I mean, she loved Vince McMahon. She loved the WWF and WWE for what they did for her and what they did for Moolah. And it's just a truly an amazing story, because, to be honest, she's one of those people that I believed would somehow be out there on her 100th birthday, even though she's been, you know, sick in the last couple of years and hasn't been able to get along too well. You know, I honestly believe that she was going to be around when she was 100 years old and somehow involved on a Raw.
Pointed out to me that, in fact, the power bomb off the top rope was also through a table. And that's why she was wearing a neck brace when they did the big time power bomb off the stage. But still, going through a table into the ring, you know, you're taking it. That's a big impact one way or the other. So does not take anything away from how tough Mae Young was. So it was very nice to see they did a tribute to her on Impact. They had a nice tribute, Mike Tenay and Taz saying some nice words about her. And I am sure that on Raw Monday, WWE.com has already got at least two video packages, music videos up about the life of Mae Young. And I'm sure we'll see one or both of those on Raw Monday night. So best wishes to the friends and family of Mae Young. It's always it's never any fun to talk about someone passing away, but we can at least be happy about the fact that we've talked about this a lot of times over the years in wrestling. You're seeing less people dying young now than we did in the previous generation, certainly. But it used to be that in wrestling, you either died young or you lived to a ripe old age. And Mae Young was one of those that lived to a ripe old age. And the one sad thing I guess you can say is that she never did make it to 90 or to 100, where she had claimed that if she made 100 years old, she won in one match. And Stephanie McMahon had promised it to her. And realistically, even if she'd made 100, it wasn't going to happen. They weren't comfortable putting her out there in the ring as it was, but she was tough. So Daniel Bryan is a babyface again, and Mike, I know that when he first turned, boy, you should have seen the emails I got. People that they were done with professional wrestling, they said, and I presume they're all coming back now because he's a babyface again. But unfortunately, he suffered a concussion. Did you expect it to end as quickly as it did?
Yes and no. No, in that they obviously were going to roll on with this a little bit longer. I thought it was going to be Royal Rumble, although a lot of people thought there was doom and gloom and it could go on forever, but end at some time before WrestleMania, maybe a max at the latest WrestleMania, but I frankly thought it was going to be over at the Royal Rumble. But when Michigan State won their bowl game and all that stuff with the yes chant, making ESPN, you know, that's the sort of thing that makes them jump, and them realizing that and seeing that, I think probably expedited things a lot more, which I don't know if that's good for the Wyatt family at all, because there was the one great benefit to all of this. You know, Daniel Bryan working with those three guys was going to be a great and big benefit, and maybe they still will be for a while now, but they were just forced to by the amount of media attention that stuff had gotten.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment, everybody. More on this topic. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio. Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are going to continue talking the news, but we know that you've got stuff on your mind, so we are going to open up the phone lines as well. As noted in the bumper, 855-478-4478 is the phone number. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478, the Skype line, F4W Online, and all of these numbers are up and available if you don't have them at F4WLive.com. You can head up there and check those out. You can also contact us, join us on Twitter at Brian Alvarez is my handle, and hashtag F4WLive. We have got Dave on the Skype line. Dave, what's going on?
Hey, this is Dave from the Netherlands.
Dave, what's up?
I'm reading here about the WWE Network, of course. That's what I'm going to talk about. Mm-hmm. And it says that at the end of 2014, Norway is getting it, and Finland, and Iceland. But what about the other countries in Europe? Any info of that? On that?
Nothing besides what they've. Make sure you turn down the audio of us in the background. Nothing that they have announced yet, but a lot of the countries around the world, a lot of the international countries, you know, they're targeting 500,000 subscribers, 500,000 to a million. But the issue is existing TV deals in whatever countries we're talking about here. What's the TV situation in Norway?
I have no idea. I'm in the Netherlands.
Netherlands,
I'm
sorry.
Nothing on TV, and we don't have a pay-per-view system. So
oh, really?
I don't know what. The only thing we do have is on Eurosport. It's 1 hour a week, but it's really weird. I'm waiting here with my credit card, waiting to throw them my money, but I don't know.
Well, what I want to do, I want to thank you very much for the call. We will. I'll try and contact WWE and see if there's any update on the Netherlands, and we'll see if they've got any information. Mike, are you there now? Sempervivi.
Yeah.
All right. Just making sure you're there. All right. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Caller, you are on the air.
Brian, how you doing this evening?
There we go. What's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to know two things. The guy was talking about the WWE Network. Now, will that be available for people who have smartphones?
Yes.
I thought so, because like I said, I have one, and I can definitely get that. Do you think they'll have much women's wrestling programming, or just a little like Total Divas or something other?
What are you talking, GLOW?
I don't know. I mean, just anything.
I mean, in the beginning, they got 1,500 hours of programming at launch. And
right.
And so if you're interested in women's matches from Raw, SmackDown, or pay-per-view, you're in luck. If you're looking for GLOW or anything of that nature, I wouldn't hold my breath.
LPWA?
No LPWA, no. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though. Now, what they do have, and they won't focus on it much, but if there ever is a demand or if they ever need to, you know, they hold the Florida tapes, they hold the Mid-South tapes, they obviously have their own where they came in on a regular basis or a semi-regular basis, and it was, you know, a lot of times Moose Clan with Sherry Martel and Wendy Richter, Judy Grable, Vicki Williams, Princess, all those women that were there, so... I mean, they have it, and you're going to see it pop on there, but the thing's going to be is just you're going to have to go to like a site like Graham Coffin's site, the history of WWE.com, where you have to look at some cards and then, you know, see if there's women's wrestling on them or if there was, you know, a showcase of women's wrestling, and then just try to look up the matches when all of these things start being uploaded to on demand, like we're thinking they're going to be, where you'll be able to access an entire Florida archive down the line or an entire Mid-South archive down the line and TV shows, and you'll just have to match up the date and try to seek it out for yourself, because I just be that kind of demand for women's wrestling in the WWE, with the exception of this Divas era.
Let me ask you one last question. Who is going to be the big benefactor on TNA?
That's a good question. I don't know. I want to thank you very much for the call. Yeah, they're doing a benefactor storyline in TNA. There is a secret investor, a secret benefactor, and he has already hired the American Wolves. So my guess at this point would be that the benefactor would be David Lagana, because I know he's a big fan. Other than that, I have absolutely no idea. Maybe it'll be Sting if he secretly resigns. And if not, they'll get whoever does resign. You know, one thing that's interesting, Mike, I know we're talking about Daniel Bryan here. We'll get back to that in a little while. But it is interesting that that WWE is going to be making a lot of footage available on the network, but it's also going to be cycling on and off the network. And I find that interesting, because right now the idea behind UFC Fight Pass is by the time they're doing a free trial, and by the time the free trial ends, you know, their idea is every single UFC event ever is going to be available all the time on the UFC network. Now, WWE is going to have maybe 1.5 to 2% of their total library available at launch on the WWE network. And I'm not really understanding why you would want to cycle things in and then cycle things off. I mean, it's not like if you had all 100,000 hours, I mean, anyone's ever going to be able to get through all that stuff. So I would think that as you put it on the network, just keep it in the network in the vault.
Well, I think that actually is maybe why, because they know somebody's not going to go through the entire thing. And, you know, I don't know how much it's costing them for bandwidth or any of that sort of stuff or anything, the logistics of that part of it, where, you know, ESPN owns the rights. Look at what ESPN owns the rights to, you know, so much stuff. And, you know, they could actually air more. They air what they air, and that's it, because there's only X amount of demand. Just be an issue of, do we want to go through and put all of this stuff up there if nobody's going to watch it? Is it easier to put up maybe 25 shows at a time, you know, for 6 months or wait till demand? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know what the issue would be. As far as me as a fan goes, I want all that stuff. The UFC is doing that too with theirs, and I hope WWE, there's enough demand for it where, you know, if they reach out and ask what you'd like to see on the network, I want to see all of it, you know, because I don't know when I'm going to get that random Jones to want to see from 1982 or a Mid-South show from 1986 or whatever it's going to be. So I hope kind of they do something like that where all of it is up there, but it just may be an issue of, you know, the want to do that compared to other priorities, just it's not that high.
Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Sammy from New Jersey.
Sammy, what's up?
I'm going to give you a non-network question for a change.
All right.
All the bombardment you've had. What was the source on Daniel Bryan's concussion from this past Monday? Who released that?
You got a major buzz on your phone line. I don't know if you're standing by.
Is that better?
That's better. There we go.
I don't know. It's a hard line. Do you know who leaked out that Daniel Bryan had a concussion on Monday, considering it wasn't on the WWE website or anything?
WWE confirmed it to us.
Oh, they confirmed it to you?
Yes.
Is it at all possible that they're working you and working the IWC?
No. Listen, Daniel Bryan, I got emails from people when Daniel Bryan joined the Wyatt clan, from people that they were going to go to house shows, but they decided not to go because their kid wanted to see babyface Daniel Bryan, and there was no reason for them to go once he was a heel. I also got emails from people that did go, and they were very upset with the Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt matches. So if they're working a concussion, then they're working it to the point where he didn't appear at any of the house shows that he was billed at this weekend, which you know is going to get a lot of people very upset. So there's, I can't think of any good reason to work a concussion when it's potentially costing you a lot of business.
No, and I was under the impression that, you know, and that's just me, of they just didn't, if he's able to go on Monday, they don't want to draw attention to this, and it's just, okay, if he's good for Monday, if not, then maybe they put something into Monday to actually push this further along.
My thought was that they make, like, my thinking behind that was that they make some kind of announcement Monday that he's hurt, like they've been doing, and then in the Royal Rumble he becomes a surprise late entrant and wins the Rumble, as if they changed plans on whoever they actually originally had planned or something like that. That's why I was thinking, because a lot of his fans are internet-based and listen to things like your show and stuff, so they would know about this, and then if they saw him come out like number 30 or something, it would be a big surprise. But when you explain it in terms of business and house shows, you're right, that doesn't seem cost-effective or financially sound.
Yeah, I mean, you could still, I want to thank you very much for the call. I mean, you could still have him be a surprise if he's not hurt, in the sense that, the original idea that I was told was that it was going to be Bray and Bryan in a singles match at the Rumble. So you could just not announce him as being in the Rumble, and because he's got a single match on the show, everybody presumes he's not in the Rumble, but he actually is, and he comes out as a surprise. I mean, you could still do that, but the idea of taking him off of house shows and everything that they have done, I mean, it's going to a lot of trouble. And you know, again, if he is really hurt, which I believe he is, this was not announced publicly, but I was told privately there was a good chance that he was not going to even work at the Royal Rumble. And with a guy like Daniel Bryan, I want him to be advertised for the show, particularly since he was so hot on Monday. You know, I would want to be able to announce, hey, it's Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt at the Rumble. Buy the show. But if he's hurt, I don't know. I'm very skeptical of the idea that this might not be a real injury. I'm like 99.9% positive it's real, but I guess stranger things have happened. We're going to head to a break. Again, when we come back, the phone lines will be open, 855-478-4478. You can follow us on Twitter. Use the hashtag @F4WLive. We'll get into some of those as well. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone, the TuneIn Radio app, searching Wrestling Observer Live or Sports Byline. You can check us out on the iHeartRadio app on your smartphone website as well. The American Forces Network, big shout out to everybody listening in on the American Forces Network. And, of course, the Cable Radio Network as well. So many different ways to listen to this show. And WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Thousands and thousands of radio shows up there. We've got a new live streaming audio feature. Two shows a day live, just like this program here. For all the details, you can head to f4wlive.com. There's an entire schedule of shows with Pacific and Eastern times listed if you're listening here in the United States. And, of course, if you don't get a chance to hear the live shows, some of them air at very wacky times. You can always sign up for as low as $9.99 per month with a long-term subscription. And with that, you get full access to every show we've ever done in our archive. You can podcast the shows. Listen to the shows on the way to work. Listen to the shows at work. Anywhere you love to listen to audio, you will have full access with a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So for all the details, we got two live shows coming up tonight at approximately midnight Eastern and 3 a.m. Eastern. So 9 Pacific and midnight Pacific. If you want details on all those shows, F4WLive.com is the place to go for the full schedule and how to listen to the live stream. Absolutely free, so check that out. We're going to be taking your phone calls here, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Mike Sempervivi is on the telephone now. Apparently, his connection issues are related to my internet, which is so bad right now that I cannot even get a test going on speedtest.net. So for those of you thinking about getting Frontier Internet, I got an idea. Don't! So anyway, that's my free non-plug for Frontier here today. Mike, let's get an update on the football game.
Just an absolutely terrible start for Seattle. They received the kickoff to begin the game. Russell Wilson scrambles out on the Seahawks' first play and was stripped of the ball and dropped, and San Francisco recovered. So they have incredibly great field position at about the Seattle 15-yard line. So terrible start. Alden Smith and the 49ers, a very nice start for them.
Way for Seattle to drop the ball. Dear God. Well, there's still a long time to go, right?
Exactly, yes. That's only 10 seconds into the game. 14:50 still lead left in the first quarter alone.
All right, we got a Twitter question here from Sammy. You can send these to hashtag F4WLive. He says, how come they are so safe with people with concussions, but then they let John Cena wrestle when he needs surgery? I know he's John Cena, but come on. Well, there's a massive long-term health difference between wrestling with a torn triceps and having a major concussion. I mean, Mike can tell you all about the NFL concussion lawsuit, which I believe is in the range of $800 million that the league is looking at to pay out to players. And WWE does not want to pay out $800 million to anybody. And so if you've got a concussion, you are benched. Benched! But things like tricep tears, I mean, you're not going to have serious issues with your mental function in later life if you tear your tricep. So that's the gist of the story there. And Mike, anything you'd like to add?
Well, and not only, that number is, may sound big, but it could have been more, it should have been more, and it may actually end up being more. I think a judge had said that it's not enough. The players really didn't get enough out of that whole deal when you look at the scope of it and you look at the number of players and the amount of years that thing encompasses. And it's just, no, it probably should be bigger. And again, these lawsuits, they're worried about lawsuits, and that's what all of these sports are concerned about. That, and it's just that is the reason why. And he can go out there if he thinks he's okay, and he's fine, and technically he's clear from a doctor. It's like Robert Griffin III in the Redskins. Technically he was cleared. Should he have played? That's a different story. But technically he was cleared, and once they're cleared, it really is up to the player if they want to go out there and play. And John Cena's one of those guys.
We've got a question here from Steve. Everyone's asking about Daniel Bryan. Any word on plans for Mania yet? It looks like Triple H Punk is a lock. What is going on with Daniel Bryan? Is Batista Orton still happening? Lesnar Taker, what are your thoughts? Well, we're still a ways out, but the word I've gotten is that still going to be doing Batista and Randy Orton, which would suggest that Batista either wins the Royal Rumble, or I guess maybe they could do a deal where somebody wins the Rumble and they face Batista for the shot at Elimination Chamber. I mean, if you want to do a real swerve, and whenever I mention something like this on the show, usually means it doesn't happen, but you could have, of all people, Alberto Del Rio win the Royal Rumble, which would be obviously a huge shocker. And then Batista and Del Rio, I know they're wrestling at Elimination Chamber. That is the plan. So you could do a deal where the title shot for WrestleMania ends up being on the line, and Batista beats Del Rio, and boom, there you go. So that is certainly a possibility. As far as Lesnar Taker, as far as I know, that's still happening. And Daniel Bryan, that is a good question. I had stated on one show or another that I was 99% certain that Daniel Bryan and Shawn Michaels were wrestling at WrestleMania, despite what anybody said. You remember this, Mike?
I do indeed.
Well, apparently that went off the rails when this whole Daniel Bryan joining the Wyatt clan began. Because as soon as that happened, there were WrestleMania cards floating around that involved Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt either on the same team or facing each other. I was actually given two cards from somebody in WWE, two potential ideas for WrestleMania. One was a tag match where Bryan and Bray were teaming together, and one was a tag match where they were opposing each other. Neither set in stone, obviously.
Possibly with a legend in one of those.
That's right. Well, you know, they'd mentioned an idea of, like, Hulk Hogan and John Cena against Bryan and Bray, but the reality is, you know, whatever card or idea anybody might have had, Hulk Hogan, the chances of him wrestling at Mania are extremely slim. He's not going to pass the physical. But regardless, their original idea for Daniel Bryan was that he was likely going to be a member of the Wyatt family until either the Elimination Chamber or WrestleMania. So if he turned at Elimination Chamber, he would have a match against Bray in some form at WrestleMania. And if he did not turn at Elimination Chamber, he would tag with Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania and likely do the split at WrestleMania, and you would get the reaction that you got on Raw at WrestleMania instead. Obviously, that's all out the window now. So I know there was speculation, and granted, people have insisted this is not going to take place, but there was speculation within WWE on Monday that now that they have turned Daniel Bryan, it's possible that the match with Shawn Michaels may be back on. So we shall see. I would love to see that match. If they're going to do it, this is the year, but who knows?
Yeah, I would absolutely love to see that. That's the, I think, would make the most sense too, you know, especially if we're going with, you know, Triple H's friends still there, and this is, you know, building up to something where you're getting Punk and Triple H, and you know, maybe you have the Rhodes brothers. I know a lot of people thought that they would be facing off at WrestleMania. Hopefully they hold that off for quite some time. And you know, if it's a bunch of people up against the McMahon-Helmsley, you know, machine, obviously, you know, if Shawn Michaels is on their side, it's a perfect match with Daniel Bryan, and it's a match that obviously is an easy story to tell because of the history between the two.
We've also got this person here wanting to know the deal with Sting's contract. This is up on Twitter, hashtag F4W Live. What is the deal with his contract? Chances he will wrap up his career in WWE, perhaps inducting Warrior into the Hall of Fame. Well, first off, regarding Sting and his contract, I do know that Sting and WWE have talked. I don't know. There are people in WWE who think that he's in for sure at WrestleMania. That is not 100%. But I would not be surprised, especially based on the storyline they did at the TNA tapings. This is a spoiler. Magnus ends up beating Sting, and he tears up the contract that Sting was perhaps going to sign for the coming year. So it looks like Sting may be done if TNA doesn't sign him to a new deal. And he was making a lot of money. So in their current cost-cutting state, very good chance he will not be re-signed. So the word, the speculation about Warrior was that he would be inducted by Hulk Hogan. Now, if you followed Hulk Hogan and the Warrior over the last decade, I mean, this whole idea is just preposterous. They've buried each other. They've said the most terrible things about each other. I mean, they're being complimentary towards each other now, but it's kind of ridiculous, the idea that Hulk Hogan would induct the Warrior. But you know who would be a great person to induct the Warrior? Would, in fact, be his very first tag team partner way back in the day, straight out of Rick Bassman's camp, Sting. So that's a great idea. I had not considered that until just now, but that is a great idea.
In the first territory where he made somewhat of a splash. I guess you take Memphis out of there. Technically, they went there first, but it was in Mid-South where they were the Blade Runners, and accompanied by Eddie Gilbert, and that's where they'll be this year in New Orleans getting inducted. So it'd make great sense, and it's too bad that this thing couldn't happen and roll along sooner because, you know, Undertaker-Lesnar is, obviously, that's a no-brainer matchup, which you can build a story around. But Undertaker and Sting, I think, would have been a really, really good one to do. And with so many legends looking like they're coming back, with the timing of the network, with just some of the things that they've been doing. It would be really cool if you could see those two together, even though, you know, God knows how they'd work together or anything like that. But it would, you know, they'd have to rely on smoke and mirrors. They'd have to rely on crowd response and things like that. But those are two guys who I think could get it very easily with each other, and it would be far safer for The Undertaker.
There has been discussion for WrestleMania of doing something involving Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper and Mr. T and even Paul Orndorff, something celebrating that first ever WrestleMania main event. I know that if Piper had his way, there would be a wrestling match, and him and Hogan would be in the ring together. I don't think you're going to get that. Again, it's so unlikely. I mean, maybe they'd give Hogan the opportunity to stand there on the apron and deliver like a couple of punches, but
I can't wait till Piper saying that he's never beaten by Hogan again.
That's right. That's right.
Never been pinned, brother.
Never been pinned, brother, except that time that he was pinned. But yeah, I think that those guys will be there. You know, WrestleMania 30 is WrestleMania 30, number one. Number two, it is the big hook for the WWE Network. I mean, this is, in order to see WrestleMania for $9.99, you got to buy this network subscription. So they're going to do everything in their power to make this a absolutely gigantic WrestleMania, in my opinion. And as a result of that, I think you're going to see them going all out trying to get everybody that they can. Obviously, the price tags for a lot of these people. I know that Goldberg obviously has been approached about a match with Ryback, and Goldberg is asking for a lot of money, which should surprise nobody. So are they willing, if they take this off traditional pay-per-view for the most part, how much money are they willing to spend to make this a mega WrestleMania that they can then use to sell people on the network? That is the big question. We're going to talk about that throughout the next hour. And of course, we're going to be taking your phone calls, emails, Twitter questions, the entire gamut. If you want to know how to contact us, we'll give you those numbers later on in the show, but you can always get them at f4wlive.com. So head up there and check that out. Back in just a moment, everybody. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And in the Figure Four Online Studios versus Sports Byline Radio Network Studios, I am currently down by 3 points as San Francisco is up here in the, I guess, the semifinals here leading into the Super Bowl. Mike knows all of the technical terms here. But
NFC Championship game.
Yeah, NFC, that's right. Mike, it was noted here that the judge rejected the NFL settlement last week that we were talking about. And any additional details there?
No, you know, I'll pull it up during the break to take a look at it. I remember doing the math, though, when the thing was first announced, and when you looked at it and you looked at it per player, it just seemed to be very, very low when most people thought it was going to be, you know, well over $1 billion because of, the number of the players involved and the, you know, over the years, just so many, and you're not sure what's going to happen. When it was announced, it was, you know, really looked at as the NFL got off a lot easier than anybody would have thought. And this decision really, again, you know, makes the NFL kind of uncomfortable for obvious reasons.
We will talk about this in hour two, everybody, because this really does have a lot to do with professional wrestling, particularly WWE and their very, very, very stringent concussion policy that is now in effect. I mean, there are guys that suffer concussions, and they have been out of action for a long, long time. And obviously that is being done in a lot of ways as a result of what is going on with the NFL and all of the former players. So we're going to be talking about that when we come back from the top of the hour and news break. We got so much stuff to get into, including more previews of the Royal Rumble. You can also contact us in hour two. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. The Skype handle at Brian Alvarez, hashtag F4WLive. All of this up at WrestlingObserver.com and F4WLive.com. So stick around, everybody. More coming up. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're talking all sorts of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news today, taking your phone calls, emails, Twitter questions, and more, and talking this big Figure Four Online Studios versus Sports Byline USA Studios battle on the football field. And Mike Sempervivi, I was on Facebook here, and my grandmother, Gladys, wrote, "Uh-oh, Mike Sawyer thinks the Seahawks are going to lose. Let's prove him wrong." And then a few minutes later, she wrote, "Bad start."
It was a very bad start, but Seattle was able to hold San Francisco to only a field goal. And finally, here with just a few minutes left to go in the first quarter, they actually, Russell Wilson to Doug Baldwin, went for 22 yards. So finally, Seattle got a play that got them out of their own territory here. And they're starting to get a little bit more confidence going. Hopefully, this keeps up so we can ruin the day of everyone in the Bay Area, and especially at the Sports Byline Studios.
I like how Mike says "we" as he's out there on the East Coast having nothing to do with any of this.
Well, that's not true. I've had to watch Seattle Seahawks football games now for a very long time. When the Baltimore Colts left, my stepfather picked a new favorite team and decided to go with the newest team in the league at the time and went with the Seattle Seahawks. So I have been forced to go over to his house and watch many a Seattle Seahawks game.
I see. It all comes out.
Yes, so that's why I have that kinship I do with you in the Bay Area, along with Vinny and Granny and everybody else who is a rabid Seattle Seahawks fan.
They don't come more rabid than me, everybody. We're going to talk more about this after the break, all the pro wrestling, mixed martial arts news, and we'll be following the game as well for those of you devoting your time to us today. So back in just a moment, everybody, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. And we are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are here talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. This show replays every Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. If you happen to miss the first hour of the show, boom, that's the place to go to listen to the show live tomorrow morning. So make sure you check that out. We're here talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, and of course we're talking some football as well. And we'll get the update from Mike here in just a moment. First off, caller on the line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, this is Amon from New Jersey.
Amon, what's up?
Hey, I just had a question about Jeff Jarrett's new promotion.
Mm-hmm.
What if any wrestlers are kind of rumored to maybe go there, if any?
I have heard zero specific names, but I do know that he has apparently met with the folks at AAA about the possibility of using some of their guys. I firmly believe I have no inside information about this, but I firmly believe that AJ Styles is waiting to see what's going on with Jarrett's promotion. I think that if Jarrett and Toby Keith get this thing off the ground and there's a lot of money behind it and they're willing to pay guys, I think that AJ Styles would be more than happy to go to work for that promotion. I know that he's talking to various companies around the world. He's looking for good working talent. He wants good workers. And then obviously you build from there. You try and get some personalities as well. But I haven't heard any like real specific names of anybody, just kind of a general overview of guys that are not signed at any of the major promotions but are really good workers.
Gotcha. Okay, that was it.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. Mike, you alerted me during the break that the Seattle offensive line, I believe you said, sucks. Is that correct?
I actually use the word garbage. Russell Okung can be very painful to watch sometimes, and they're one of the more penalized teams in the league, especially on that offensive line. But they had to punt the ball away, but San Francisco muffed the punt, but recovered it. So we'll see what happens here, but no update scoring-wise. Still 3-0 San Francisco.
All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Michael from Florida.
Michael, what's going on?
Hey, guys. You know, so I was listening to the show, and of course, you know, the WWE Network, I'm pumped about this. I'm waiting for the announcement. Can't wait to get it. I'm going to get it day one. I'm going to wake up early if I don't have to work and order it at 9 a.m. and wait patiently. But then I'm listening to you guys talk, and they're going to cycle in and out content like they did on Classics on Demand.
I don't think it will be, it will, don't, fear not. I don't think it
I heard that, and I was like, oh God, that's a horrible idea.
Well, I think what it means is maybe they will have like a, it's not like you're going to be limited to 20 hours of content a week, like on Classics on Demand. You're going to be getting a lot of content. But what I'm saying is that if they air a, let's say they put up a, I don't even know what it would be. Let's say they put something up. I mean, it's possible you'll only be able to access it for a year, and then it will cycle off the network. What I'm saying is it's not going to be up there forever, and it may cycle in and out. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you, I have Netflix, okay, and you know, 25 million people or whatever have Netflix as well, and they cycle stuff in and out as well. I mean, if a movie comes on to Netflix, I mean, I can watch the movie for 6-8 months, and then it disappears off Netflix streaming. But it's not like something that, you know, Netflix is limiting the amount of programming I can get streaming. I mean, there's tons and tons of stuff up there. But it's not all up there all the time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that is true, because I have Netflix as well, and they do that. And they do cycle their content in and out at, like, pretty long intervals like that.
Yeah, but it's never like there's not enough stuff up there for you. There's always going to be enough stuff.
Yeah. And considering they have 100,000 hours of content, you know, I doubt they're going to run out of things soon. I just hope that they'll keep it for as long as about that time period, so that way if they do put some things like in the vault that people want to see, or if people missed, you know, Raws or whatever, and they decided, let's go and watch all of 2013 of Raw, you know, they could do that if they wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, it's highly unlikely that they'll put something up and then 2 weeks later it's gone. I mean, we're talking a long-term cycle would be my guess.
All right, well then, if that's the case, then that should be fine.
All right, anything else?
I mean, like everybody else, I kind of just wish there was ideas for WrestleMania, because, you know, this is like the first time in 3 years that there hasn't really been any sort of direction by this time.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I mean, we do have a general direction. I mean, we've got Lesnar and we've got Brock Lesnar and Undertaker, as we've talked about. We've got CM Punk and Triple H seems to be a lock. We've got something involving, maybe we don't have as much, Randy Orton, Batista. So that seems to be a direction. And I mean, believe me, I would not be surprised if we know a lot more tomorrow. And I would suspect that we're going to know much more right around the time of the Royal Rumble. But yes, I do remember that this time last year, I had the entire WrestleMania card. And I think with like one exception, it was exactly as I had it at this time. So they are a little bit behind in terms of what is known about the what is set in stone about the card, at least.
Yeah, but they're still, you know, again, they have plenty of time and a lot more to go here, too. And again, most of the big names that you just said are already going to be set up, and you kind of know. Yeah, again, you know who's going to be up there for the most part. Daniel Bryan's going to have his match. If it's not the Rhodes against each other, it's going to be them defending the tag titles. Money in the Bank, I think, is coming back, right, for WrestleMania as well. So, you know you're going to have six guys in there, and you can kind of just, like, sit back, look at the roster, and pick six that'll be in, you know, that would make sense. So, again, after Royal Rumble and leading into the Elimination Chamber, we're going to have everything we need to know right then and there.
We got Steve here. Thoughts on Steve Austin being involved in the Hunter Punk match as a potential special referee. This way we get some great promo work to help build the match and the taste of a dream match scenario of Austin and Punk interacting without him actually wrestling a match. Austin had to have spoken to Vince about participating in some capacity at the network launch event. Austin also claims he will be in New Orleans for the event. Yeah, he's going to be there. I don't know. I mean, Austin himself has said that they haven't really had any talks about actual participation on the show, but certainly him in some capacity in that Triple H Punk match, maybe as a corner man, and then Hunter chooses somebody to be in his corner. I don't know who it would be. Maybe even Shawn Michaels if they don't do Daniel Bryan and Shawn Michaels. I mean, that is a possibility. So we shall see. Steve Austin will be there in what capacity, I don't know at this point. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Dave from Wisconsin.
Dave, what's up?
I wanted to talk a little bit about the WWE Network and piracy.
Yep.
And the first thing that, I mean, all the websites that I go to that are wrestling related, and a number of them I know, probably a large number of them, internet wrestling community does, in fact, pirate pay-per-views, pirate content, et cetera, et cetera. And all of them seem very high on the network, things talking about that. But the other thing I don't think I've seen anyone actually talk about is that the WWE Network actually does kind of raise the potential for piracy exponentially.
In the sense that there's more stuff available for people to go up and pirate?
Well, there's that, plus the fact is, like, say for pay-per-views, it's a lot easier to stream. If you're watching on your computer, you're watching what was formerly a pay-per-view, but if you get the network, what you can do is you can essentially open up any streaming site, say it's Ustream, say it's Justin.tv, Livestream.com, whatever. You can basically make a private room that is not detected.
Sure.
It's basically not public, that you can't see. And you can set it up, you can set your computer up with free streaming equipment to broadcast what's on your screen out to, say, a private number of friends. And I think that's a potential thing, because I see people talking about, like, going halfway with an account with another person that could be on another side of the country. And it was mentioned that MLB Network that they're using only allows for, like, four people or something like that.
Actually, Dave, hold the line. We're going to keep you through the break.
Okay.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment, everybody. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. You are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of Wrestling Observer Live. And we are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And we have Dave here on the line, who is talking about piracy and the WWE Network. And Dave, go on.
I guess another thing, I was talking about just like how some people are, I know, already planning on going, like, sharing subscriptions, so they only have to pay like $5, or even if you can split it four ways, which I believe was mentioned by the MLB Network, how they have it with their stuff. Essentially just kind of already lowering the price themselves and basically taking two to four additional buys away from the network. I know a lot of people are extremely positive. They like the direction it's going. But the thing is, people who pirate content will always find a way to lower the impact upon them financially. And another thing is that even if people aren't paying for the network, all that content is mostly, it's going to hit torrent sites, it's going to hit other sites. I'm a member of three private torrent sites that do a lot of stuff from mixed martial arts, pro wrestling, other combat sports and stuff like that. And I mean, I mostly use it for, like, old Japanese stuff you can't find anywhere else, even legally. So, but I know there's stuff out there, but most of the time, like, I'm watching Raw if I'm interested, or pay-per-views, things like that. So I think that people will always find a way to get things for free, and it's going to be hard to combat that.
All right, I want to thank you very much for the call. A few things. Number one, is it regards piracy and torrent sites and everything like that? I mean, Dave noted that what he's pirating is stuff that is not easily found. And to me, here are the keys to the WWE Network and why I don't think piracy is going to affect it. In fact, I think there are going to be less people pirating WWE with the network than there were before the network started. I, honest to God, believe that the reason the vast number of people are pirating WWE pay-per-views is because they're $54.95. And people cannot justify a $54.95 cost, and that's why they pirate. Now, when the cost drops to $9.99, and for $9.99, not only do you get all of the pay-per-views, but if there's anything that you want that's in the library, you don't have to go to a torrent site. You don't have to find it. You don't have to do a search and find it on the torrent site. You don't have to deal with any potential malware or anything like that. It's just you go up there, you hit a button, and there it is. It's really easy. It's really simple. I think the low cost and the simplicity will lead to a lot of people that formerly pirated WWE events instead just getting the network. It's simple. It's easy. It's very much the way that I feel that that iTunes changed the way a lot of people got their music. When you had to buy an entire music CD to get one song you wanted, and then all of a sudden you discovered, oh my God, here's Kazaa, for example. I can get just the one song that I want, and I can get it for free. And so you had a lot of people that were now getting all of their music online through these sites. And then what happened? iTunes came along and allowed you to purchase one song, the one song you wanted. You didn't have to worry about doing anything illicit. You didn't have to worry about any malware. All you had to do was go up there, and for 99 cents, you got the one song you wanted. And all of a sudden, tons and tons of people were paying for their music again. And I feel it's going to be the same way with the WWE Network. This is a cost that I think a lot of people can justify. And furthermore, as it regards password sharing, I don't know what WWE is going to do to combat that. Obviously, they have to allow a certain number of people to log into each account, because you may have two people in your household that have Netflix. And if you've got two Netflix operating televisions in the house, I mean, you really can't say you got to buy the network twice. I know that MLB.com, I think, allows for four logins. Netflix, I think, may be dropping it to two. I could be wrong, but I think I read that they might be dropping it to two. But regardless, let's just say that you've got people that are buying the network and sharing it, and so two friends are paying $5 instead of one friend paying $9. WWE is going to do everything they can to combat that, but at the end of the day, what is the difference between that and when my buddy Craig buys a pay-per-view for $54.95 and he has four friends over? I mean, technically, those four friends are pirating the pay-per-view, right? Because they're going over and WWE is making no money from them. WWE is only making money from Craig. So if you've got a pay-per-view party and one guy orders and four guys chip in to the one guy that ordered, five people are watching that show for $54.95. Whereas if you've got the network and you share the password with one buddy, I mean, you've got two people sharing as opposed to five. So it's going to happen. WWE is going to try and combat that. Maybe they'll find a way to combat it so that you're not allowed to share your password. I'm sure they're going to do everything that they can. But at the end of the day, I mean, I still think that they're going to be much, much better off with this network in terms of piracy than they are with their current business model. Any thoughts, Mike?
I think the people that pirate, you know, to that level are going to continue to pirate, and they weren't paying for anything anyway. They weren't paying for DVDs. They weren't paying for pay-per-views, documentaries, any of that sort of stuff. So you can't even count them into a loss on the new network because they were never going to pay for anything anyway. I think this is a matter of how big of a wrestling fan are you? Because it's very easy to believe in this concept, even if they didn't roll it out as big and as bad and as flashy as they did with some of the stuff and the promises that they're making. Is still, for a wrestling fan at $9.99, it's even with the 6-month commitment thing at $60, it's a remarkable, incredible deal. And it just, to me, it's a matter of how big of a wrestling fan are you if you're still going to go out of your way to, again, because of the cost of this thing. I understand if you don't have the means or anything like that, but I would bet the average person, the average wrestling fan, at least the one listening to us, certainly spent more than $60 every 6 months, you know, overall on wrestling. So to me, it's a no-brainer of a deal, and I don't see any reason why you'd have to go to torrents for any of this stuff because of the cost. I understand that. I would figure like a parade of champions. I'll probably put all of those on, but you may not be able to find every single last single solitary world-class TV show possibly on the website, at least not for quite some time. I could still see you, I guess, wanting to go to a torrent site or going to, you know, a YouTube or Justin TV. At least those are free, but, you know, to go to a torrent site,
I would assume you're going to really have to watch out, because Major League Baseball, I know, at least was at one time vociferous, and how they went after people and streaming and things like that. I don't know how it works with regular sports and the amount of streams and things like that are out there, but I'm sure WWE and Major League Baseball Technologies are going to want to lean on their security, and at least around the time that this thing rolls out, really start busting those private rooms on Justin TV and Ustream and places like that, and making sure that they have as many people, you know, locked down as possible.
San Francisco up 10-0.
Yes, they are. And yes,
dear God, I'm not going to be able to go out in public. It's going to be too dangerous.
Kaepernick, a 58-yard run, and Dixon punched it in after that. So, yes, Seattle not looking good right now.
I've been told here regarding the cycling issue. This is from somebody in WWE. The network is going to work like Netflix. Tell fans not to worry. It will be like Netflix on the cycle issue. Most likely, WWE could keep the stuff that is being viewed the most compared to what is not being viewed. So I think what they're saying is that if there is a certain show that over the course of 4 months gets 25 views, yeah, that's going to drop off the network. If there is a show that over the course of 2 days gets 50,000 views, that thing's going to be on there for a long time. So it's not going to be a deal where, hey, we're going to put this great show online. You got a week to watch it or it's gone. Won't be anything like that. You will get all of your content. The most watched content is going to stay there for a long time. And Mike, what just happened?
No, I'm just thinking this is a hardcore test. You know, this is like the Observer Hall of Fame. You know, if you don't get, you know, 25 viewers, it gets dropped off. It'll probably be a lot of people complaining that something got dropped off. But this is a hardcore fans TV setup that they're going to be, you know, purchasing, and the hardcore fans are going to be buying.
Actually,
this thing. So
listen, this better be a casual fan thing.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely should be. But I mean, realistically, it's going to be, you know, to get 25, you know, there's got to be 25 hardcore fans. So if something drops off of there, it probably deserved to drop off of there.
And also noted that Mania is a bigger card than what people know. And you will know a lot more after the return of Batista, which is, in fact, taking place tomorrow on Raw. And after the Royal Rumble as well. We got a lot of Twitter questions here I want to get into. Hashtag F4W Live. But first, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Chris from Nacogdoches, Texas.
All right, Chris, real quick. We got about a minute.
Okay, I was just wanting to get Mike's thoughts on New Japan going forward after these shows over the weekend with CMLL. And Yoshihiro Tanahashi, is he being presented as a bigger star than Okada going forward, even though he holds a secondary title?
All right, we'll have Mike talk about that. I want to thank you very much for the call. Mike will talk about that after the break. He actually saw the Fantastic-a-Mania shows. So we'll talk a little bit about that after the break, and then we will get into your Twitter questions as well. Probably no more phone calls today, but stay tuned. If we open up the lines, I will let you know here because we are live. Back in just a moment, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next 20 minutes, pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. We are on. Get ready. The Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208. We stream live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Tune in website, tune in app on your phone, the iHeart website, the iHeart app on your phone, the American Forces Network. Big shout out to everybody in the military, the American Forces Network, as well as the Cable Radio Network, the most listened to wrestling radio show in the world. And if you have nothing to do tonight after the game, guess what? We got two more live shows coming up exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com. We have live shows throughout the week. And if you'd like a schedule, if you'd like a schedule of our live shows, head to F4WLive.com. It's also linked up at WrestlingObserver.com. The live show schedule is there, plus the link to listen live to all of the shows. And if you miss anything, fear not. We have a members-only area. For as little as $9.99 a month, you can get full access to every single radio show. Not every radio show that we do every week, every radio show that we have ever done. thousands and thousands of shows dating back to 2005. They are up for members moments after the live show ends. I know a lot of them are at a weird time, particularly for those of you on the East Coast. For example, Dave and I are going to be up at 3 a.m. Eastern tonight. But fear not, in the morning you can podcast the show. You can get it downloaded to your phone, listen to it on the way to work, wherever you're going. All of these shows available for members, again, as low as $9.99 a month. Head to WrestlingObserver.com or F4WLive.com. Check out our daily free live shows and sign up for more. WrestlingObserver.com. We have a lot of questions to get into here. On the old Twitter machine, you can contact me, hashtag F4WLive. I am at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. We're going to get into a bunch of these. But first, Mike, how's the game going? Not looking good, I hear.
Well, not if you're a Seattle fan, although Doug Baldwin just reeled in a 51-yard reception, which got Seattle down into San Francisco territory. But unfortunately, they've been kept out of the end zone. They just brought on the field goal unit and 32-yard field goal is good. So Seattle now cuts the San Francisco lead to 10-3.
10-3. I heard some whooping and hollering there in the background.
Yeah, that's the boy. The boy's a little bit rowdy. You know how he can be, especially when football's on. So, yes, he's running up and down the hallway right now, trying, I guess, to break whatever he can and to work my nerves while I'm on the show, because he knows I can't go out and yell at him or at least look at him sternly.
You know, I sometimes let people love when I compare children to cats, but I'm going to do it anyway. Sometimes I have one cat that always wants to be in my room because this cat hates the other two cats, one of them in particular. And my room is, I've got all of this acoustic paneling here, so it's a very quiet room and there's no other cats. So the cat always wants to be in this room, and it knows there are certain things it's not allowed to do in this room. It's not allowed to mess around with the cords. It's not allowed to mess around in the trash or papers. But of course, as soon as I put on the headphones and start talking, the cat knows now I'm not going to go get the cat. So that's when it starts doing everything it's not supposed to do.
Psychology is an amazing thing. Not another way that kids and cats are alike. You know, you spend all this money on cat toys, or you'll spend a bunch of money on toys for a kid, and it's amazing. If you just give them one large cardboard box, that can be so many things to them. And
sure,
you just take a piece of aluminum foil, ball that up, and throw it at a cat. That's all it cares about.
We got a lot of kind of that. It's sort of like wrapping paper, but it's sort of tissue, kind of crinkly tissue. And I got about a pound of that, and I threw it near where you go into the garage. There's kind of a little alcove. And my God, the biggest playground you've ever seen for these cats. It's like sensory overload for them. To these Twitter questions, however, we've got a lot to get into here today. Will they edit the commentary on Chris Benoit's matches like they did on the DVDs on the network? I would say whatever they did on the DVDs, they're going to do on the network, would be my guess.
Now, whether they do any more, that's questionable, because it's very easy now that they've done the voiceover work and done the editing on that to play those things. Now, will they go back to WCW and edit out he and Booker T or something like that? Maybe they do no more new stuff like that, but probably the existing stuff is going to stay exactly the same. I wonder about this when it comes to music and everything, too. And there's going to be another thing that if people come up with an excuse to torrent, it will also be because there will be people that go, I really like the World Championship Wrestling roll call that they had coming to your city, and they don't show those. Or I liked hearing Jimmy Valiant come out to the boy from New York City or something like that, and that's why I'm doing it. I want the original stuff. So, you know, the more they edit, that would be a reason I guess somebody would come up with to say they're going to torrent. But also want to get back to a question we had before the break, too. Tanahashi faces off against Shinsuke Nakamura in Hiroshima on February 9th. He's probably going to win that and retain the New Japan Intercontinental title. With that said, is he a bigger star than Okada? Yeah, I mean, Tanahashi is like a Hogan or a Cena or something like that, and that's not to bash Okada at all, because his popularity, he's got just as much popularity in some ways as Tanahashi. You know, it's just he's younger. He's not as established yet. Tanahashi's just the biggest superstar out there. So he's always going to be the man. But people are very accepting of Okada the same way they're very accepting of Nakamura.
he's probably third, just slightly on that list behind Okada as far as popularity goes. But everybody over there who's a fan of New Japan respects all three of those guys for completely different reasons. So as far as it affecting Okada or him having to live in the shadow of Tanahashi, yeah, he is, and that's just going to be something that has to happen. But with that said, it's not going to make him any less great either now or down the line. The Fantastica Mania shows, I saw days 4 and 5 from Currican Hall, and they were both very good. I think they were both about $15 on the New Japan Ustream site, and I would actually suggest those shows to people. They're not, if you're looking for a traditional New Japan experience, you're not going to get that because of the obvious CMLL guys coming over there and doing Lucha Libre. But I think it's a nice change of pace for somebody who does like Lucha Libre. And I just think it's a cool concept that they do every year. And as things have changed in New Japan, it's taken on a lot more. I think it's gotten a lot more shine. You know, a lot of times people just looked at that and looked at the junior heavyweights and looked at the Lucha style and went, eh. You know, it's a nice break, change of pace once in a while, but it's no big deal. I think with the success of Prince Devitt, I think the success of the guys coming over from CMLL in the last couple of years, like Volador and Nakamura in his matches last year with La Sombra and all of those guys putting on such good performances, I think it's really boosted the respectability of these shows to the fans in Japan. And that new wave of New Japan fan has been very accepting of them as well. So I would actually suggest you watch either, you know, night 4 or night 5. I think if you're a little bit more into Japanese wrestling, order night 5. But if you feel like you like CMLL a little bit more, go ahead and order night 4. But night 5 actually did have the NWA Historic Welterweight title match between Volador and Moscato Dorada, which was awesome. So that was a really awesome, awesome match. Went about 20 minutes, and Volador retained the title with the new Volador special. So, again, just those were two really good nights of wrestling.
We've got a question here on Twitter. Why doesn't WWE pay-per-view the Hall of Fame? Which also we had people asking, why doesn't WWE put the Hall of Fame on the network live? And, again, just like with anything else regarding international television deals, USA Network is going to want first dibs on the Hall of Fame. So you may end up seeing the Hall of Fame up on the WWE Network within a month or so in full, as they usually do with a DVD, but you're probably not going to see it live.
Or they do prelims, or they change the style in which they do it, where if USA is only going to have, you know, they only want it to go a half hour, hour, whatever it was, and they want to get 2 to 3 guys in there. If they decide to do 6 or something like that, and they name, I don't know who it would be. This isn't going to happen, but let's just say it's Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express, because they happen to be there, and Danny Hodge. You know, maybe they put the Rock and Roll, or I'm sorry, the Midnight Express and Danny Hodge on, you know, and then as, you know, they have a time ticking off, it goes off the air, and we're going to be going, you know, make sure you turn on USA next, and if you want to see this in the archive, it'll be on in 2 weeks or something like that. They could do something like that, too.
We've got this person here saying, I've been getting the Sky Sports stream of WWE pay-per-views through my Roku because of the high pay-per-view prices. Basically, he's saying he's pirating. But I will be signing up for the network on day one. So there's one right there. Let's see.
And again, I think as a fan, why would you not?
Sure. I mean, listen, I've bought every single WWE pay-per-view, either myself or my buddy Craig, forever. And so the idea that now I will... and you know what's funny? What's funny is my buddy Craig... And I think this is what WWE is counting on. My buddy Craig has been buying most of the pay-per-views. So he's been paying the $54.95. People kind of chip in to him. And, you know, I have not been buying them because I've been going over to Craig's house. But what they're doing now is myself, my buddy Vinny, Craig, and probably his buddy Bill, who all go to his house for the pay-per-views. All four of us now are likely going to be WWE Network subscribers. So as opposed to getting half of the $54.95, which WWE is getting from the cable company, which would be $27, they will now be getting $40 from the four of us every single month because we're all buying the network. So they're coming out ahead by lowering the pay-per-view cost by creating the network because of the pay-per-view parties that we all have been attending at Craig's.
Yeah, and I to me, it's one of those things when it comes to the wrestling fan, it's like paying for WrestleMania and it not being, you know, up to standard. Well, you lost $60, you know, basically around that much. You know, at least in this case, there's going to be enough, you know, other stuff on there where it should make it worth your while. You know, I can't see this not being, for the price, which I've been a fan of the price, even though a lot of people says it's not enough. And frankly, for the value you get, it's not enough. But to me, I guess for the money, if you're a wrestling fan, it's hard for me to believe that this won't be worth it unless they have some sort of technological nightmare signing in or something like that, where it's going to create some pause as to why to order this.
This person says, any news on the Cruiserweight show for the network that they filmed a few episodes for in 2012, 2013? I actually have not heard anything. I'll see if I can get some information here before the show goes off the air. But no, I have heard nothing about that. What is up with Jeff Hardy's status with TNA? Well, Jeff Hardy is still with TNA. The situation is he cannot get into the UK due to prior arrests in the U.S. And so they did the angle where he was written out of storylines for a while so they can go and tape a bunch of shows in the U.K. And then when they return to taping here in the U.S., lo and behold, there he shall be. So that is the situation there with Jeff Hardy. And Chris, by the way, thanks you for circling back and answering his New Japan question on the show. So good work, Mike. Do you see WWE changing their logo soon? Well, good question. They kind of already have. I don't know if it's going to be like a full, I don't know if there's going to be like one WWE logo for the network and then one for the overall company. They've got the new logo for the network. I'm not exactly sure if they're, one's going to be taken over the other, or if they're going to be separate, one for each, you know, one for the company itself, one strictly for the network. So, we'll see if we can get an answer to that during the break as well. So, we are going to head to a break. When we come back, we will try to update those two questions, and then we will give you the final update, the Figure Four Online Studios against the Sports Byline USA Studios out there on the football field as we speak. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Final segment here on the show, and a couple of updates. I have been told that the Hall of Fame will be up on the network the week the Mania DVD hits. So whenever that comes out, the Hall of Fame will be available on the network and probably the Mania DVD as well, I would guess. But I don't know for certain about that. And no update on the Cruiserweight show. Let's see. It is not happening, at least this year, I've been told. If anything, there was talk of a Divas show, kind of like WWE Main Event, but all women. So, Jim in Virginia, that's breaking news for you, buddy. A WWE Main Event style show, perhaps, with all of the women. Perhaps. Please don't go reporting that and attributing it to me until we know for sure. So that is the show, everybody. How is the game going, Mike? Real quick update.
Well, quickly, also, if you order the Figure Four Weekly newsletter, you'd see a picture of women, Naomi and Cameron, especially Naomi, looking good. The Seattle Seahawks still trailing 10-3 to San Francisco with a two-minute warning just taking place. We're going into halftime.
Going into halftime, dear Lord. All right, everybody, for more, we have two live shows coming up tonight only at WrestlingObserver.com on our own 24/7 network. We'll have a brand new Wrestling Observer Radio at midnight Eastern, 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific, and a brand new Brian and Vinny show coming up at midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern. And of course, if you miss any of those shows, always available for subscribers. It is as low as $9.99 to sign up for full access to thousands and thousands of shows. For more information, head to f4wlive.com. That is the full schedule. And of course, that is also linked up at WrestlingObserver.com. I want to thank everybody for listening. We'll be back here live on the radio next week. Our Royal Rumble preview show should be a fun time. I want to thank Mike, of course, producer Paul, everybody at Sports Byline, and of course, all of you, the listeners, without which this would not be possible. So thanks again. We'll be back next week. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.